Pray for Sammy. He's going to wherever he's going, drill or something for a few weeks here. And you know who we often don't think about is the family of our soldiers. They have to take care of business all by themselves. And so God bless Kat and the others that do their work at home. Well, there are others that are protecting our nation. Praise the Lord. We're going to pick up where we left off. I have no songs for you tonight, so I was only going to do Mansion Over the Hilltop because of the mansions. I have mansions, and I was going to tell you the story of the Mansion Over the Hilltop, and then I kept running into I Know Who Holds Tomorrow, and I cut my teeth on Room at the Cross for You. And now I know why. And we sang it, I don't know if we sang it every Sunday, but most every Sunday during sometime, either an altar call or something, we'd get around to singing There's Room at the Cross for You. And it was also the theme of Revival Time Radio. There's Room at the Cross for You. So anyway, and then I just, I kept going down that road and I ran into Happiness Is the Lord. So anyway, hallelujah. I wouldn't trade those songs for anything. A lot of churches have thrown them out and they've thrown away their hymnals and the songs that are in the hymnals. It's a mistake. I'm not being an old fuddy-duddy. It's a mistake. All right, you have a new song, you think it's good, okay, but don't throw the old ones out. They say too much. I'm telling you, most of these old hymns, somebody could get saved. There's one guy that says, listen, I pray, I read my Bible, and I read at least 3 hymns a day. Interesting. Anyway. And so, John 14 and 4. And whither I, Jesus says, and wherever I'm going, I whither I go, ye know, and the way we know. I want to meet Thomas. Thomas is one of us. And he doesn't get a lot of stuff. And there are people around that just don't get stuff as quickly as other people. And my mother instructed me, when you don't know, keep your mouth shut. That way people don't know whether you know or not. But Thomas didn't hear that advice. And so Thomas saith unto the Lord, what's going on here? We don't know where you're going and how to get there. Well, how are we supposed to know? I have a string hanging on my foot. And I thought it was, is it my hem? There she goes. I'm all hemmed up. All right. I can show up on Facebook as a... Anyways, how am I ever going to get through this? So Thomas is like, I don't know where you're going, and how do we get there? I want to go. And he wasn't getting what the Lord had told him for a long time before. And we know that after the resurrection, Thomas was a little belligerent there as well. Because like, I don't know. How am I supposed to know this stuff? He's talking about stuff and I don't. Have you ever been there? Well, anyways, Thomas has been there. He's one of us. But Jesus answers him in one of the most famous scriptures in your Bible, John 14:6. Jesus looked at him. I think by now they found some benches in the park to sit on. And they're sitting around and Jesus is talking to them. And he looks at Thomas and he says these words, Thomas, I am the way. Jesus has no problem calling himself the I am. Who talked to Moses in the burning bush? the I Am. Thomas, he says, I am the way. You want to know how to go? I'm me. I'm not only the way, I am the truth. I'm not only the truth, but I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I don't care how religious you are. It doesn't matter how Jewish you are. It doesn't matter if you wear a little cap on your head or you have a prayer shawl or you go to the Wailing Wall. It doesn't matter. You can't get to the Father through the Wailing Wall. You can't get to the Father through Islam. You cannot get to the Father through Buddhism. You can't Zen your way to the Father, the Creator of all the universe. You can. There is no way to get to Him except one, and that is Jesus Christ. And so, merciful as we are to the Jewish folks, I want them to clearly understand, unless you believe in Jesus, you can't get to where the Father is. It's not my opinion. It's what Jesus said. And if Jesus is telling the truth, well, then that's the way it is. By Jesus saying, I am the way, He is excluding all other ways. This is an exclusionary sentence here. If He says, I am the truth, He is excluding everything else. The older I get, the more I am learning there is no truth in this world except for our God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. There's no truth. Be careful what you listen to. Jesus is the truth. And the only truth. You've got to decide. You don't tell yourself the truth. Jesus is the only one that will tell you the truth. The Holy Spirit is the only one that will tell you the truth. Have you ever approached Him and said, Lord, tell me the truth about me? It's a scary, scary bit of business. But if you want to know the truth about you, let Him tell you about you. Because you only see yourself from a certain perspective. And He knows everything. He really knows everything about you. I am the way. I am the truth. Regarding I was a young teenager. I remember the moment. I was standing in my mother's. My dad had some places in the house, like the cellar. But my mom had the kitchen. It was my mom's kitchen. And I was standing in that kitchen looking out the window. And I had this thought. What if different religions also get to God? What if we are being too narrow and they're religious people and they're following whatever? Maybe we were studying different religions. You notice we study different religions in school. At least where I come from, we studied Shintoism, blah, blah, blahism, blah, blah. We never quite got around to Jesus. The religions of the world. And maybe that's what caused me to think, well, maybe there are, you know, this is where we are, but that's where they are. And you know, maybe that's okay. And I thought about that for a few minutes. And the more I thought about it, I thought, no again, because I know the one that created everything. And understand this, the nations without Jesus are that way because they somewhere in their history they rebelled. The gospel went out to the whole world in the first century, according to the Bible. Somebody rebelled in Africa. Somebody rebelled against the Word of God. And consequently, they have problems. By the end of that time, I was staring out that window, and I turned around. And our house had lots of music in it. And played records, Christian records and so forth. And the record that was on that day, it was a song. He didn't bring us this far to leave us. He didn't teach us to swim to let us drown. He didn't build his home in us to move away. He didn't lift us up to take us up. I go, there is only one God. I'm 13 years old. I made that said, no, they are wrong. And I'm here a few years older to tell you everybody else is wrong. And I know it's not a popular thing and it's not very ecumenical of me, but let me tell you, none of their gods work there because they're not true. And let me tell you something else. You better get the right Jesus. Not just use His name in your service, but get the right Jesus, the Bible Jesus, the one whom we know, who's our Savior and everything, the one who has still moral absolutes. God has never changed His mind about moral absolutes. The devil and his people out there have attacked moral absolutes like crazy. And they want everything to become relevant. They love the gray. They don't want anything to be black or white. They want it to be gray. Well, that's just how you see it. Well, that's just how you believe. And they hate people like you and me that say, no, the truth is thus and thus. God says this, and that's the way it is. Do you mean that God doesn't love me? Listen, we've been reading Psalms and Proverbs. And according to the Psalms and Proverbs, no, He doesn't. My Bible says He hates the wicked. He showed you His love on Calvary, so you don't have to be wicked anymore. There is a way back. But let me tell you, you're living in sin. You're not. God doesn't chuckle at you. He doesn't put His hand of blessing on you. You're on your own. Jesus is the only way. And it's narrow. It's not broad. It's very narrow. Cece was telling me, the Lord was showing her, many are called, but few are chosen. What that means is those that have chosen the narrow way with Jesus Christ, they're going to follow Him and not turn to the left or to the right. The chosen are the ones that are on the way. There is only, friends, there's only one way. There is not exits. You can't, well, I could still, no, there's no frontage roads where you can almost be on the way, or you can look like you're on the way, the narrow way, but you're really not, and all of that. No, you're either on it or you're not. And I'm following Jesus each step of the way. And what the Lord says no to, I'm going to say no to. What the Lord says yes to, I'm going to say yes to. There's security. Yes, there's danger, but there's security on that narrow path, the way. The truth. Jesus, the truth. Everything Jesus has said is true. Everything. Love your enemies. Do good to those that despitefully use you. Everything. Unless you forgive others, God the Father can't forgive you of your trespasses. Everything that Jesus has said is true. If you love me, keep my commandments. Have you ever had someone tell you that they loved you, but you knew they didn't? No? Kind of interesting. Turn on Christian television. We love you. You don't know me. You've never seen me. You love my money. But Jesus really does love you. And He will help you stay on the path. He will not leave you, neither will He forsake you. He's promised it, and He keeps His promises. And I don't want to spend too much time on this, but He is the absolute truth. If you don't know what to do, go back to what Jesus said and do what He said. If you're confused about going left or right or up or down, go back to what Jesus said and do what He says. Because that's the truth of the matter. If you want to know the truth about a situation. You ever watch news? one channel you get this perspective, say a conservative perspective, and on this one you get a liberal perspective. And neither one of them is telling the truth. And in life, you get lots of data, lots of information. And you say, man, where is the truth in this? I don't know where the truth is. And I will tell you, you go to the holder of truth to find out the truth. All the treasures of knowledge are in Jesus Christ. When you need to know the truth, show me that. If we would stop a minute and say, Lord, I need to know the truth. He will show you the truth. And so you can go on and make correct decisions. How many of us just blunder on and say, well, that looks good, let's do it. And we pay for years later and say, wow, I should have just taken my time. I know that's no one here, but there is no life outside of Jesus Christ. Hear me clearly. There is no life. Doesn't matter how much money you have. Doesn't matter how much power you have. There's no real life without Jesus because He is life. I don't have time tonight to show you how that Jesus is life and how powerful that is. There is no life without Jesus. You exist, you breathe, you get up, you go to, you eat and all of that. You exist, but there's no life. Jesus, I've come to bring life and that life more abundantly. There is no, you can exist and you can be happy or sad, but there's no life when you find life, because life, true life, is eternal. There's only one source for life. It's Jesus Christ. You can't get it from an idol. You can't get it from some ism that some man created. You can't get it there. The only place you can get life is Jesus Christ. And that's why we're sticklers for Him. And we're not going to go all ecumenical. And we're not going to say all churches are the same. They are not the same. They have different buildings and all of this. Friends, and I don't want to be too critical here, but when you go into a place of worship and they got statues all over the place, well, what am I supposed to think? And people go and kneel and genuflect in front of the statues. Listen, you genuflect in front of a what they call a crucifixion. Listen, Jesus on the cross is not God. He's not there. We don't bow before any trinket. We don't bow before any physical thing. We do not do that. We bow before by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Our God is real. Thank God He is real. But we don't bow to no nonsense. I was taking a class in college. I can't remember what it was. I'm sure I got a good grade in it. But and I was offended. I was offended because we were studying a book by J.I. Packer. And he said, you better be careful about the pictures of Jesus you have up in your home. And I was like, well, you old stick in the mud. But he says, it's not wrong to have a picture, but you better make sure you don't worship it or you don't go in front of it and pray to it. Because all it is paint. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Let not your heart be troubled. Jesus is on the job. Henceforth, He's the way. He's the truth. He's life. You've got everything you need when you have Jesus. Nothing. There's a young man who was a gangbanger, and he was a tough guy, well respected. And during the course of his crime, you see, he said, "Listen, all I grew up around was." His last name is Garcia. He says, "All I grew up, my dad sold drugs. That's how he made money. He sold drugs. All my uncles sold drugs." And as soon as I was old enough, I sold drugs. That's what I did. We made sure people had drugs and they paid us for them. That's what I did. A deal went bad and he killed somebody. And he was caught and he went to prison. Maybe he killed more than one person, because at the end of the day, they sent him to death row. and he was awaiting his execution. And he was a naughty boy on death row. And so they threw him in solitary confinement, 23 hours a day, he said. And it was not a nice solitary confinement. It's very confining. And he said, I wrote letters to my homeboys and said, please get me out of here. Somehow you guys got to rig this so I can get out of here. And he says, you know what? Nothing happened. And he said, you know, I wrote my family. And I said, can you do anything? Can you hire another lawyer? Help me get out of this. He said, the place, it had light to it. But he said, it was all dark in there. He said, you could feel the evil presence. And he says, hey, maybe it's me. Maybe I'm the evil presence. This is horrible. It was weighty, heavy on him. He says, you know what my family did? Nothing. My homeboys let me down. My family let me down. But he says, I remember somebody had come along and told me that Jesus, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And if you'll call on Him. And he said, in the darkness of solitary confinement with only a little bench to sit on, I said, well, okay. Jesus, if you can help me, would you help me? He said, I didn't wait a day. I didn't wait 2 days. I didn't have to wait a minute. He said, I felt something come into that cell and lift, he said, about 1,000-pound weight off of me. And he said, the darkness in that cell was gone. There was lightness in the, he called it lightness in the air. He said, suddenly lightness came in the air. And he said, oh, wait, Jesus works for a gangster? He's all tatted from every part you can see him, he is tatted. He said, but Jesus suddenly became real to me. He became my way. He became my truth. And he became my life. He said, as I prayed to him, the Lord spoke to me. He said, it's going to be all right. He said, soon I got out of solitary confinement, was able to study the Word. I went on with Jesus, and he's telling his testimony from prison. And he says, I've found the answer to life in solitary confinement. It is my relationship with Jesus Christ the righteous. He's taken him. He said, the Lord spoke to him. And he said, Garcia, listen to me. You are no longer a murderer. I have washed your sin away. You are not that person anymore. And oh God, I wish we would get back to believing that when Jesus comes in, He washes it all away. You are no longer what you were. Hallelujah. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You are a new creation in Jesus Christ. Not born by the will of man or by the power of man, but by the power of the resurrected Jesus. He's made us a new creature. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There is, listen to me further. There is no devil or demon that can stop someone from calling out upon Jesus. If you want Jesus, you can have Him. He just says, if you'll draw nigh to me, I will draw nigh to you. Hallelujah. If you want Him on Facebook tonight, if you want Him, you can have Him. All you got to do is call upon His name. He knows how to take 1,000-pound weights off of murderers and robbers and drug addicts. He knows how Matt at his church had a church full of drug addicts from Teen Challenge in Rochester. And the testimonies came one over another. I am not who I was. Jesus has done something for me. He's changed me and turned my life around. Hallelujah. That's why we're not shy, Tony, to go to the streets and preach. Why we're not shy to go to the inner city and to the homeless. We're not shy to preach from a pulpit. Jesus is the answer for the world today. He was the answer in 1900 and He's the answer in 2025 because He's still the way, He's still the truth, and He's still the life. Glory to God, and you can have Him. Oh, let's see. And nobody, I'm trying to get through this verse, it's just holding on to me. Nobody gets to the Father except by Jesus. I find it interesting, a lot of people talk about God. Far fewer talk about Jesus. If you're being interviewed by the secular media, You could say God all day long. But the second you bring up Jesus Christ, my Savior, they've got to go. Why? Because there's power there. Hallelujah. The word God can be nebulous. It can be kind of this or that. But when you mention Jesus Christ, you know exactly who they're talking about. And He's not some ancient man. Jesus is not some ancient man. Listen to me. He's right on time and He's up to date. He's not only alive today, but He's the one that's cutting edge. All these guys trying to be cutting edge. Jesus is cutting edge still. Hallelujah. All right. I'll go on just for a few more minutes here. Verse 7, Jesus continues, "If ye had known me," whoa, Thomas had just spent 3 years with Him, "if ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know Him and have seen Him." Philip says, Lord, I don't know. Was Philip paying attention? I don't know. He was in the back somewhere. Maybe, I don't know, taking care of something. But he said, well, Lord, show us the Father and it sufficeth us. Phil, come on. Where have you been? Jesus looks at him, perhaps out of the corner of his eye. He says, Phil, have I been so long time with you? Are you this stupid? No, he says, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? Here he again, in John 15, he explains it again. But this is the message he wants to leave with the boys, that he is going to commission to tell all the world about him and what he has done. And Philip does not know the elementary idea of who Jesus is. Jesus has just spent 3 years trying to get through people's head who he is. And at the end of his run, Philip is saying, oh, we just want to see the Father. The Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, the triune God. If you've seen one or felt one, you've felt them all. They are in concurrence. That's why we call it the three in one. And he says, look, you've seen me. Well, then you've seen the Father. Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, He doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. He's saying, how can he say it better to his closest buddies? I'm God. I'm God. My Mormon friends, Jesus is God. I don't have any but Jehovah Witnesses. Friends, I mean, He's God. He's not just the Son. He is the Son of God. But He's God. God sent His only begotten Son, the Word. And He died on Calvary. Ooh. Full. And I'll conclude. The most amazing thing to me is Jesus says, and we'll come and we'll dwell in you. The Father in me, and me in the Father, and us in you. I don't know. I don't know what that does for you. It does something for me. You don't have to worry about whether He loves you or not. You don't have to be troubled or not, because He's in you. Hallelujah. Hopefully by the time Jesus is resurrected, these guys understand. Maybe they didn't understand until they got filled with the Holy Ghost. That's why they didn't minister. That's why Jesus said, wait until you be endued with power from on high, because you ain't ready. You don't even know who I am yet. Phil, Thomas, you don't know who I am yet. You've hung out with me. You've seen me do these. I have taught on a daily basis, and you have no idea who I am. You still think in the back of your head that I'm a prophet. You still have a little bit of doubt. You say, well, I don't know. Was he really born of a virgin? Mary says. But really? Is it really? Is that really? We see the miracles. So he's somebody. He's got to be an anointed somebody. But is he really God in the flesh? Did he really come to be God in the flesh on my behalf? And Jesus' resounding answer is yes. Hallelujah. It is the very reason the Jews accused him of blasphemy, because he made himself equal with God. And the Jews were 100% wrong. He is God. He's made a way by the truth to give us life. You may not have money. You might not have a car. You might not have shelter. But if you've got Jesus, you've got enough. We may face those days, even in this country. We might face those. I know plenty of people who've come to that crossroads, and they will testify. Jesus is enough. We sing that chorus a lot here. He is all I need. And it's a true chorus. But I wonder if he's all I need. He is all I need, but do I know he's all I need? Is he all the life that I need? Is he all the way that I need? Is he all the truth that I need? He is, if you come to him. Jesus. I want to sing Jesus. There's something about that name. Tonight, I want you to know Jesus is everything he says he is. There's not one degree turn. There's no Jesus. What Jesus says is 100%. It's not 99.5. It's not 1 degree off. It is absolute. What he says goes. He's never lied once. When he says, I'll keep you in my care, and lo, I am with you all the way, even to the end of the world, he means it. When he's called you and me to be overcomers, he means it. He never plans for us to give up, quit. Or say, well, the Lord doesn't love me anymore. I'm just going to go do my own. No. And by His Holy Spirit, and I know I'm because there's more to this, because we have to fit the Holy Spirit into this. But because the Holy Spirit is here, so is Jesus here. Would you stand together with me tonight? I don't want to repeat myself, but let not your heart be troubled tonight. You've got the way, the truth, and the life with you. You're not going to fail. The devil's not going to ruin you. Oh, no. Oh, no, 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 no. I'm part of the great kingdom of Almighty God. I am a child of God Almighty. He has accepted me into His family, and He knows how to take care of us. This week, as the devil challenges you, as circumstances challenge you, as he will push you into a corner and see if he can't trouble your heart, to see if you can't give up a little bit of faith and let fear leak in and say, well, maybe it's not everything. Maybe, hogwash, maybe. There's no maybe. Jesus, there's just something about that name. Jesus, Savior, like the fragrance after the rain.
about them.